Good morning, friends. It is a joy to serve you this morning by bringing God's word to you. Thank you, friends, for inviting me to preach the word to you. I bring you greetings from Redeemer Church of Dubai. We have been praying for you, your elders, and we know you've been praying for us too. 2020 has been a difficult year for all of us. Life has changed for all of us. Families have been separated. Jobs have been lost. Salaries have been cut. People have died. And still there's a lot of unrest because we don't know much about our todays and tomorrows. We've all been affected in varying degrees. As a pastor, I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you by doing what people in the past have done, by looking to God for help. I want to encourage you by pointing your attention to the God of the Bible. And my prayer is that God will minister to your hearts this morning and will give you hope as He helps us see His goodness from Psalm 121. So friends, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Psalm 121. Now on top of Psalm 121, you might find a title that says A Psalm of Ascents. Psalms 120 to Psalm 134 are all songs of ascents. The word for ascents comes from the verb that means go up. And so it actually means going up. And these psalms are best taken as procession hymns which the pilgrims sang as they traveled from their homes and went up to Mount Zion for their annual feasts. This was the place assigned by God for worship, Mount Zion, Jerusalem. They loved going to Jerusalem because this was where God made His presence known. They longed for this day, but you see, the trip came with challenges. There were no cars or metros to take them to the city of Jerusalem from their hometown, from their villages. They had to walk. And the journey to Jerusalem took a few days, and during this trip, they had to climb hills. And hills pose a lot of danger. Slippery paths, loose rocks, wild animals, and even robbers. This would have been a concern for anyone traveling to Jerusalem. Would my child fall and would he get hurt? What if robbers attack us at night? Would my family survive the scorching heat of the sun? What if someone falls ill? Will we be safe at night? You can sense the joy in the people as they were prepared to travel to Jerusalem, where they knew the presence of God was made known. But then there's also this feeling of uncertainty and vulnerability and a feeling of being unsafe as they prepare to travel. And it is in this context that the psalmist says, I lifted my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? You see, the psalmist begins this psalm with an expression of neediness. I know this journey is going to come with challenges, and so I need help to make this journey to Jerusalem. Where will I receive help from? Is his question. Just like the psalmist, it is possible that you are asking the same question now. As you look ahead, you are probably fighting uncertainty. You're probably thinking, I don't know what awaits me today, tomorrow, next week, next month. How will I make it through this season? And as you hear about others' struggles, you fear that struggles will approach you one day, and you're probably battling fear now. Will I be able to provide for my family? What about my kids? Will I be able to provide for them? Will they be saved? Friends, I pray that the study of this psalm will fuel your faith in the faithfulness of God to keep you now, today, tomorrow, this week, this month, this year, till He brings us into His presence. So he asked a question in verse 1 and he answers the question in verse 2. He says, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Who is this man's help? The Lord. Now you'll find in your Bibles that the word Lord is in capital letters. It's all in capital letters. And that means it stands for Yahweh. And if you want to know, if you want to have a quick introduction to who Yahweh is, go to Exodus chapters 3 to 6 and look at Deuteronomy 7. You'll find a quick introduction to who Yahweh is. And you understand in these chapters that Yahweh is a God who keeps His word. Yahweh is holy and He has set His affection on the Israelites. Yahweh came down and rescued the Israelites by defeating one of the most powerful kings. Yahweh does not need help. Yahweh is full of steadfast love. The people of Yahweh are Yahweh's treasured possessions. You mess with His people, you mess with Yahweh. Please understand what the psalmist is trying to do. He's reminding himself that in the journey ahead, a journey marked by unknowns and anxiety and fear, this Yahweh, out of His steadfast love for His treasured possession, is going to help me make this journey. Jehovah will bring me to Jerusalem. He will bring me into His presence. And this verse also says that Jehovah or Yahweh made heaven and earth. Now, I looked at quite a few verses in the Old Testament that uses the same expression. And I found that this expression means more than just the fact that He is creator and He's powerful and He's wise and He's over all His creation and He's sovereign over all things. It means more than He's just personally involved in the lives of His people. You find this expression in 1 Kings 19, in 1 Chronicles 16, in Psalm 113, and Psalm 46. But you see, if you look at 1 Chronicles 29, where you will find this expression, that passage tells us that greatness is His, and power is His, and glory is His, and victory comes from Him. He gives honor, and He rules. He's got might. He has might. And then, listen to this, friends. This is what it says. He gives. He gives strength. I want you to think of that, friends. Yahweh, the God of steadfast love, comes to His needy people and gives strength so that they are strong. They are strong enough to make this journey. If you're feeling weak now because of uncertainties in your life, and it's possible you are, I pray that this expression will bring you relief. God who made the heavens and the earth, God who possesses infinite power, You who hold the universe, out of covenant love, will supply strength to me so I am strong. So every step I make in this journey of life, I'm going to make this journey by faith in what God will provide for me, namely strength. Strength. Do you see how this man fights his fear? He sings a song. He sings a song of faith. My help comes from Yahweh. He made heaven and earth. But I'm guessing you're probably thinking in your mind, well, what does it mean that He gives strength to me out of His covenant love? What does it look like? Pastor Benoit, explain the details to me. I want more details about what that looks like and how God gives strength. That's a great question. And that's exactly what the psalmist, that's the question that the psalmist answers in verses 3 to 8. He assures the reader that Yahweh will keep us. Yahweh is our keeper. And if you look carefully at this section, you will notice that every two verses express and explain different aspects of the keeping of God. So you will see one aspect in 3 and 4, and another aspect in 3 and 4, 5 and 6, and then 7 and 8. You see three different aspects of the keepings of God. Each section is a pictorial explanation of how Yahweh will keep His children. Brothers and sisters, my hope is that the promises in these verses will assure us of God's ability to keep us now and forever. So turn with me to verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 121. The psalmist says, He will not let your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Climbing hills is no easy task. There will be rocks, and it could be possible for the traveler to slip and hurt his foot. God knows every step the traveler will make, and his eyes are on the safety of the traveler. God cares for you so much that He pays attention to every detail in your life, including every step that you take. When obstacles come your way in the journey of life, He will come to your rescue so that you don't stumble and fall. Jesus talked about this kind of care in Matthew 10 before He sent His disciples out into the world. He says they would face rejection. People will reject you. It is never easy to face rejection. I don't like to be mocked. I don't like to be rejected. The tempter uses these rejections so that we will begin to doubt God's goodness and even His presence with us. So Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, let me read it for us. Matthew chapter 10 and verses 29 to 31. Listen to the words of Jesus. Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's consent. But even the hairs on your head have all been counted. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. You are worth more than many sparrows. What is the point that Jesus seems to be making in Matthew chapter 10? Think of the sparrows. Sparrows are small birds. They're small birds of little value. They're not expensive. Yet God gives them so much attention that not even a single sparrow, not even a single sparrow dies unless the Father approves. Not a single sparrow, not even one. And then Jesus says, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Every hair on your head is numbered. So fear not. Peter, I want you to fight fear by telling yourself that your Father's care for you is much more than these sparrows. He knows even if one hair from your head is missing. He knows. Now, humanly speaking, friends, such kind of care must be a tiring job. But the text says Yahweh will not slumber. He is not tired from keeping us. He does not snooze. He is never asleep. He has His eyes on us always, and therefore we can be confident that God will keep us, that we will be kept by God. I'm thinking of one of our members. She says, 2019 has been one of the hardest years in my life. In every relationship in my life, there was a problem. She's been married for 16 years, and 2019 has been a very difficult year for her. There's been issues in her relationship with her in-laws, but they've not been favorable toward her. There have been issues in her own house. Her father is weak and has been bedridden for months. And then there were struggles with her son. 2019 has been a very difficult year. She says, wherever I went, there was a problem and I could not stand. 2020 is also difficult for her. But then she continues by saying, but God did not allow me to fall. I learned that He will keep me from falling. He kept me all these months. He kept me from falling. And that's what the psalmist says. He gives attention to every single detail of our lives so that He keeps us from falling. And He's not tired of taking care of us. So the first way we are kept by God is by His constant attentive care. Always attending to our needs so that we don't fall. Verses 3 and 4. In verses 5 and 6, we see another aspect of the keeping of God. Listen to what the psalmist says. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. You know, the point is clear. Because Yahweh is your keeper, you are safe. Now, what does it mean that Yahweh is our keeper? I want to turn your attention to Isaiah 27 and verse 3, and help us define what that expression means. What does it mean that Yahweh is our keeper? I'm going to read a verse and then try to define what that means from that verse. Isaiah 27 and verse 3. Let me explain the context to you. God's wrath is on the nation of Israel, and it's going to come to an end. And now God is going to take care of His nation, of this particular nation pictured by the word vineyard. Let me read Isaiah 27 and verse 3. A pleasant vineyard. Sing of it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. Every moment I water it, lest anyone punish it. I keep it night and day. I have no wrath. Well, friends, we are trying to define what Yahweh is your keeper actually means. And I'm just going to make some observations here before I try to define it for us. Firstly, Isaiah tells us that Yahweh is personally involved. He's personally involved. Secondly, Isaiah tells us that He takes care of the vineyard. He waters it. Thirdly, He wants the vineyard to flourish. He actually seeks its good, and so He does good to the vineyard. Fourth, He will protect the vineyard. Always. Always He's going to protect the vineyard. Fifth, this is an act of mercy. What God does is an act of mercy. So what does it mean that Yahweh is your keeper? Out of concern for the vineyard, which is His people, who are His people, out of concern for the vineyard, He will never for one second forget their needs or relax His watchfulness, lest His people be attacked by the enemy. He's engaged in all the happenings of the vineyard, in all the happenings in the lives of His people. That when the Lord keeps, when Yahweh keeps, they will flourish and they are safe. So if the Lord does not keep His people are not safe. That's why the psalmist says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Now he explains this with another image. He says, the Lord is your shade. You see, for the traveler, this is an important image. When you have to walk for hours with your family in the wilderness, any sight of shade is a delight to see. We understand the value of shade here in this country, in the heat of the summer. Right now it's summer season. Well, summer hasn't started yet, but this is summer for us. the shade of a building or even the shortest tree is a relief for us. In the shade, there is protection from discomfort and weakness and exhaustion that heat can bring. In your journey, there will be discomfort. There will be exhaustion. The psalmist says, the Lord is your shade. What's the point that he's trying to make? As your keeper, he will comfort you so that you are not wearied, exhausted by what the struggles this journey of life brings. He continues by saying, the sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The heat of the sun and the chill of the night causes all kinds of inconvenience for the traveler. We hate inconveniences. Maybe it's a cold before an exam. Maybe it's being stuck in a traffic jam right before an important meeting. Maybe it's changing your plans because someone has taken leave. You wanted to go on a leave, but someone else has taken, so you've got to stay back. Changing vacation plans. It can all be frustrating. Think of the frustrations this season. Think of the inconveniences this season has brought about. You've got to work from home. You've got to cook. You've got to teach. You've got to work. Meet your deadlines. You've got to clean your house. And then you've got to make sure that your family has time together. And then to add to all of it, there's lockdown. A lot of inconveniences this season. And it brings a lot of discomfort. Even as I'm talking to people, I get to hear that people are tired. People are exhausted. But this psalm says the Lord keeps you. When there's discomfort caused by these inconveniences, He comforts you and strengthens you throughout the day. Yes, the journey is hard. It is not going to be a problem-free life. Jesus never promised that. And it's possible that you will feel frustrated and weak and tired. Well, brothers and sisters, if you're tired now, if you're feeling frustrated and exhausted, take comfort. The Lord is your shade. He is your keeper. I'm thinking of another church member at our church. She had to go through a surgery. She was very apprehensive and felt fearful. She was scared of this surgery and she was at discomfort. And she goes on to say that no one knew my fears. No one knew about it. But then it all of a sudden hit me that God knew my fears. And as she lay on the operation theater, she said she sensed that God stood by her. And there was a sense of relief knowing that Jesus is with her. It sounded as though that reminder was more than enough. All her fears were gone at that moment. And then she goes on to say that Jesus took me through discomfort, took me through fears. So now I can tell others that He is with you when you are afraid, to keep you calm. To keep you calm. Maybe there are inconveniences in your life right now, and you are in discomfort now, and there's a war going on within. Or maybe you're frustrated right now. But brothers and sisters, would you look to this God and remind yourself that the Lord is your shade? He's able to calm your heart and bring you comfort. The Lord is your shade, the psalm says. He will comfort you. Would you find strength in this? So the first way the Lord keeps you is by paying close attention to every single detail so that you don't fall and stumble. You don't stumble and fall. The second way He keeps you is by keeping you calm. He gives you comfort. He brings about a calmness of heart when things are not going your way. The third thing is what you see, the third way he keeps you is what we see in verses 7 and 8, and the psalmist concludes here. He closes with the last aspect of the keeping of God. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Now let me admit that the psalm closes with attention. Does verse 7 mean that no evil will come your way? No evil is going to come my way. Like nothing is going to happen to me. I mean, no sickness, no pain, no grief, no sorrow, no rejection, nothing. Is that what Psalm 121 and verse 7 is saying? Well, what does the rest of this book say? If you look at Psalm 22, the psalm is there. David says, I am about to die because of my enemies. Psalm 37 talks about fears within the psalmist when evil around him flourished. Psalm 55 says he's going through a feeling of loneliness and he just wants to run and be in the wilderness on his own because his closest friend has just rejected him. There's this feeling of loneliness and hurt. So the same book of Songs suggests that we will face evil. Jesus himself said that we will face evil. He said people will hate you, people will reject you, your family will keep away from you. You will be persecuted, Jesus said. Paul tells Christians that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And our own experience tells us that life is filled with constant difficulties. Like right now, think of the complexities of problems that people have to face now. So how do we resolve this tension here? Well, firstly, it seems clear that from the Bible that we will not escape evil in this life. We will go through various experiences of evil. We will not be freed from the experience of evil. We will not escape evil in this life. Secondly, the evil one is powerful. He has his schemes. And his intention is to see God's people fail in their faith. How do we know? Well, think of what Jesus said to Simon, or rather to his disciples. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you. Actually, the you there is in the plural. Simon, Simon, he's talking to his disciples. Behold, Satan has demanded to have you all that he might sift you like wheat. And then Jesus says, but I prayed for you all that your faith will not fail. What is Jesus trying to say? Well, I think Jesus is saying that Satan wants us to stop being faithful, to stop putting trust in God. And for that, he may attack your health, your wealth, your job, and make life hard for you. But the good news is that Jesus will keep his disciples. In other words, Jesus is saying, you cannot take on the evil one. He is powerful. You will fail if you try to take him on. You fall. But I, Jesus says, I will keep you to the end. In fact, Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17. He tells his Father in his high priestly prayer, he prays, Father, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them safe in your name. Listen to the heart of Jesus. He wants to keep us, and he will keep us. And I think that's what Psalm 121, verse 7 means. When the evil one attacks, who will help me? Who will keep me to the end? Who will guard my heart? Who will keep me faithful? The Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. That's what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 2. God is committed to keeping us. When the tempter is out there regularly tempting us to take our eyes off God and to question his goodness and to doubt his presence in our hearts, the Lord will keep us. I'm thinking of another church member in our church. She says it's been difficult weeks for her, months, in fact, two difficult years. No job, confirmation, passport expired, visa expired, and then to add to that, there's the confusion of what decision should I make? And then she says, God caused my eyes to see that He can meet my need and that He is at work in me and around me. Yes, Pastor, I don't have everything in place, but God strengthened my heart and He gave me joy. In fact, God did not condemn me for my lack of faith. It seemed as though Jesus was telling her, I know your faith and I will keep you. That is how God keeps us from the evil one. He gives strength enough to say that not everything may go my way, but I know that God is at work and He will keep me. God will preserve you in the day of affliction when life is hard. Jehovah will preserve you so that you will not stumble, so that you will not grow faint. Jehovah will keep you when you're groaning for deliverance, so that you will say by faith that sufferings, afflictions, griefs now in this present age, in this present day, are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us in the future. The verse is there to tell us, brothers and sisters, that when evil attacks us, God will preserve us. God, who will keep me confident in God? God will do that. We will make it to the end because God will keep us. And that's exactly how the psalmist ends. In verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I lifted my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from Yahweh, the one who made heaven and earth. Unlike the Israelites, we are not headed to Mount Zion. In the Old Testament, God's presence was in the temple. In the New Testament, we are the temple of God. And we are headed toward heaven because Jesus, the Son of God, chose to enter this dangerous world. A biblical scholar writes, our God did not flinch back in fear from the corruption of the world. He didn't hide from its danger. He didn't shrink back and settle in heaven. He came and He entered fully into all our horrors and went through the valley of the shadow of death to save hell-bound sinners. And to those who are His, He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them from my hand. In other words, Jesus, the Savior of this world, the Savior of His people, says, I will keep them. Me, Jesus, will keep them. O child of God, walk by faith in the assurance that this promise brings. You are kept and will be kept by God until He brings you into His presence. We are journeying toward the New Jerusalem. There, God will dwell with His people. Then there will be no mourning, no crying, nor pain that our journeys on earth have. No COVID-19, no virus to attack us, because we will enjoy the protection and the safety of God in His presence. Oh Christian, my brothers and sisters, you will be there. Because God keeps you and will bring you there. Believe in this promise. Who will you look up to? Will you look to Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you sent your Son to save us from our sins. We thank you that because you're a merciful God, you have made us your people. And I pray, God, that my brothers and sisters at Crossroads will be encouraged as they look into the psalm, and that your Spirit, O God, would take these words and plant them in their hearts, and, O God, produce the fruit of faith in your faithfulness to keep them till you bring them into the presence of God. God, I pray for those who've heard this sermon and who do not know you. I pray, O God, that as they consider Jesus, they would see all that Jesus has done for them. That Christ died for the ungodly. And that by faith in Christ, there is salvation from the wrath of God. That as they put their faith in Christ, that they can walk by faith in all that Jesus is for them. And see life as life beyond life on earth, but life in the presence of God. I pray that they would taste the goodness that comes through Jesus Christ. The goodness, the kindness, and the compassion of God that comes through Christ. During this season, I pray, O God, that they would turn to Christ in repentance and faith. O Father, do your gracious work in them. We thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.